in essence, you start making the connections and connecting the dots of the things that really matter to you. Once you start getting to maybe, let's say, the last quarter of your professional, private, and maybe, you know, even your emotional life, one starts making these connections and thinking, what are the things that are important? Because, you know, you've gone through, you know, your teenage years, you've gone through your early working years, you've gone through a very harsh professional life and running step ladders. But ultimately, when it comes to who and what you are and answering the question to yourself, you kind of have to be a little bit honest and say, what are the things that matter to you and how do you bring those out and how do you help surface those kinds of experiences? And I really found it useful to write them down. And when I started writing them down, it started with respect to some other speeches that have been written, maybe sort of in the same vein in Parliament and other places, and even Herman Charles Wasman having, you know, written in that sort of vein at times. I sort of found a real connection with putting my feelings into words that connect with the earth of Southern Africa and this country, which has this incredible culture and this incredible feel about it. And even though South African Airways is going through a horrible time, those of us who travel South African Airways know that when you land on that plane in Johannesburg and you come through the gates, you know, where passport control might not be great, but, you know, there's a Dumelang or a Sawubona there. It's a, you know, that's something you can't buy anywhere else in the world. And I think it's because there's a cosmic connection, culture, with people, with all matter in South Africa. And I think that was the genesis of that.
You refer to other people who've written speeches or something similar. I remember 1996, and we were both there, me and you, and it was this euphoria in South Africa. We were the Rainbow Nation, and Thabo Mbeki delivered this speech called I'm an African, where he touches on the importance of the African soil. You tapped a little bit into that whole idea of our connection to the continent.
I think the continent is one thing, but when it comes to that, it's called I Am a South African. And I know that Mr. Mbeki delivered that incredible speech, I Am an African. And, you know, with his kind of oratory skills, I think everyone stood up and said, wow, you know, it really hit the right chords and the right notes, particularly at the time and where Africa is today geopolitically in the world and, you know, even emerging as this economic trade bloc. I think he was way before his time. What I wrote as I Am a South African, I think was more born out of there's so much identity politics being played out in South Africa all the time. And you know, rather than argue about whether I'm staying or whether I'm going, or whether my friends are staying or whether they're going, or whether having these arguments about who is a South African, I think it's important for everybody to really be honest with themselves and put words into meaning in what it is that they truly stand for. And ultimately, if you're able to do that in the concept in the way that I did it, it was, you know, to paraphrase things like that gave you meaning, you know, and that shaped you. I remember as a small boy in a small town in the Eastern Free State, having a radio station in a treehouse. And it was very clear to me, in a funny way, things that shaped me later in life in the commercial world is I understood the value of targeting your audience, because the African workers going home to the Lekasi late in the day would love listening to the music of Barry White or Otis Redding or Al Green. Meanwhile, the guy across the road wanted me to play him Elvis records at 6 a.m. every morning, and he paid me a subscription fee, or Jim Reeves. And those records I only got because they came in the Reader's Digest boxes in the mail. So you make the connections about the South Africa that was, and also the South Africa that is still there, and maybe, you know, just in a different political era and time. Ultimately, it's the connections we make with other people that define it.
Do you think that it's possible to also have this feeling as a global citizen, that you can also have that connection because we have these joint shared memories and feelings?
I absolutely do. But I think the big difference, many friends and even family members of mine that live abroad and talk to me, there's something that pulls one. And I think there's something about when you feel the soil, when you feel the vegetation, when you smell it, when you taste it, I think where you belong has a lot to do with how your five senses are, you know, perhaps satisfied as a young person and growing up. And when you're not completely and utterly swamped by politics and economics and reality of life, but in that time where your thoughts are shaped and your thinking is shaped, I think if you grew up in South Africa as a young person and kind of left even early or later, I don't think that feeling will ever leave you. And that's the South Africanism I'm talking about, is that I think many of us remain South Africans for life, no matter where we are in the world, and therefore don't question who you are as a South African in South Africa either.
Somehow you have the palate. That's why South Africans overseas still look for biltong. You can buy something similar here. You have Cadbury's chocolate, but you are looking for that specific way it's blended in South Africa and the sugars that they use. You're right, it touches your senses. Do you think the euphoria that we had with the Rainbow Nation, with this coming together, we can ever have it in South Africa again? What needs to happen?
I think there perhaps, you know, needs to be an ignition again of South Africans as an identity. I think too much polarization has happened across party political lines, because there's no longer a dominant political force. So people are starting to fight for, you know, their political quarters, for their power bases. And I think the small margins that lie in there, it seems that party politics focuses so much on identity politics that at the end of the day, that's how, you know, political movements and political people fight their battles. Whereas really on a grassroots level, you just find that South Africanism in the strangest and warmest places possible. You find it in Vilakazi Street in Soweto. You find it in Parkhurst in Johannesburg. You find it in Kloof Street, you know, Long Street in Cape Town. You find it there. You find it everywhere in South Africa, but not on the political platform. The political platform is removed from South African identity, and it's just playing way too much into race and into things that perhaps, you know, make it easy and politically expedient for politicians to get a vote, you know, particularly when it comes to the very wealthy and the poverty levels of South Africa. So it's very easy to take advantage of that. And that's where I think identity politics is causing some damage. But the South Africa that I knew and the South Africa that's there, I think it's still there. I just think people are becoming, with social media, with electronic platforms, with new ways of doing things, and how we are bombarded by everything from fake news to digital information to commercial messages. I think we're losing something. And maybe that whole piece is really just about the day that we were not bombarded by technology and information. Maybe that's what that piece is really about. It's just that at the end of the day, I think we have to start looking at each other as people again and find that everything is still there. We just have to find the way to that connection.
Gary, you've started television stations all over Africa. You're very involved with the African continent, and Africa is expected to be hit hard by COVID-19. Are you positive of what this continent can bring to the world?
I have absolutely no doubt. I'm an absolutely complete Afro-optimist about what Africa can mean to not only the global economy, but to a different kind of world. I think there's already some movements happening around the world, which, again, politicians are taking huge advantage of. But at the end of the day, what Africa can bring to the rest of the world is much more of the people stuff than I think those people imagine at the moment, because at the moment it's just about economics and some social disparity. But I think in some of the stuff I've done in Africa, I've opened in northeastern Nigeria in the middle of a civil war against Boko Haram. I've opened a television channel, and Muslim and Christian reporters, producers, working together, making things happen and having a common enemy, and that is disinformation and misinformation. So I think at the end of the day, people mustn't doubt what the people in Africa want to do. Maybe the politicians have a different way of expressing it, but what the people in Africa want to do is to create a better world.